say, Rabbi, that Mark has a heater in the sukkah?
I don't know.
Yeah. You said that in Martin's, it's not good enough.
Okay. We're at the very bottom of Mako, 16B, Tezayin Aveiz, three lines from the bottom. So it's the very end. Just to recap what we began, the new sugya over here. Rav said that even though we learned that if you eat tevel, untithed crops, you get lashed, Rav said that that extends even if you didn't tithe the miser oni, that third type of miser to give to the poor. And we said that Rav holds like Ravasi, and he gave a whole lengthy drasha how Ravasi determined that same point. So we have two opinions that are saying that if you eat tevel, even though the mice, the truma was separated, the miser rishon was separated, but not the miser ani, you get lashed for eating it. So now Rav Yosef comes along and says, well, that's not so simple that that's a singular opinion. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, the fact of the matter is, kit tanoi, this is a machlokas of tanoim of earlier rabbis. And what is the issue? Whether the tevel of Meiser Ani is biblically prohibited or not. Even though they brought one opinion above of Rav Yosi that said it appears to be prohibited, was a machlokes if it's biblically prohibited or not. Okay, that's what we're going to look into now. Is the fact you have to give Meiser Sheni, the tevel of Meiser Ani, is it biblically prohibited, is seen as a machlokes in the following Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah is going to discuss an issue of trying to separate a number of types of maestros under a unique situation. And this is the machlokes. Reb Eliezer Omer, Ein Tzorech Likros Es Hashem Al Maiser Ani Shel Demai. You don't have to designate, even by name, Maiser Ani of Demai. What's the issue over here? Let's go back and review a few ideas. There's an issue called Demai. There's a whole Masechta called Masechta Demai. What is Demai? It's a contraction of two words, Da and Mai. This, what is it? What does that mean to say? During the second Beis Hamikdash era, Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was checking things out, and he was checking, were all Jews giving the appropriate tithes or not? He was checking out, were they giving the appropriate tithes or not? So he found that everybody was separating truma, because truma is a really serious thing. And if you eat tevel that contains unseparated truma, you get death from the hands of heaven. So even the secular Jew would separate truma. They didn't want to mess around with that. Okay. So now, but there was a sizable minority of what we call Amei Haaretz, ignorant people. What are they ignorant? They don't realize how important certain halachas are. So they were not so careful in separating tithes beyond the truma. They wouldn't separate Meiser Rishon to the Levi and Meiser Sheni. So these people were Amaratzim. So you could say, you know, like nowadays you'd say secular Jews who aren't aware of halacha. Or even they were a little bit, let's say, traditional Jews. Traditional Jews who don't know, you know, they're not careful in certain halachas, right? So let's say nowadays, you buy produce from Israel. Do you think every Jew knows that he has to separate trumas and maisers if you're buying it from certain companies that don't keep the halacha? Many Jews are ignorant about that. So that's why, for example, you know, you got to be careful whose homes you're eating in. Because there could be very nice, fine Jews. They're very, very well-intended. They have a kosher home. Yeah, and I buy, you know, religion. I buy stuff for only from Israel. That's how loyal I am. And their mamish think that they're doing the right thing. They're forgetting it. Not everything you buy from Israel is quote unquote kosher. So, but it's got Hebrew writing on it. Doesn't matter, right? So you know. So now you got a problem. So therefore, what happens when you buy, now in those days you had to buy produce. So what if you brought produce from an amar? Normally when you brought produce from a farmer, the farmer separated the truma and the miser. That was the standard procedure. You have a big crop, you separate truma and miser, now it can be sold to anyone that's there. So now what happens when you buy crops from an amaretz? So we said, we called their crops demai, from the contraction of the two words da, which means this, my. What is the status of this? So now the question is, so now you bought a bunch of crops from him, and you have to be concerned, maybe, we don't, now here's the point, not every amaretz didn't separate the my. There was a substantial group, let's say, who didn't. So it's not 100% sure they didn't. If you knew for sure, the guy's at Russia, he says, I don't keep mitzvahs. Okay, then you know you have to separate. I'm going to talk about ignorant people. And, you know, ignorant people, they can't always, you know, go by their word. When it comes to Parnassa, we know that not everybody is necessarily 100% honest. You know, why don't you just ask him? Did you separate tithes? Yeah, for sure I separated tithes. Well, you can't believe them. Okay, so now, here's the point. So now we say, so now you bought this demise, so what do you do? So we say, well, we don't separate truma, because we assume that every amoret separated truma, because that would affect his crop, even his crop that was not tithed. Remember, he bechayv misa b'dei shamayim. So even the amoret is going to separate truma. But, now here's the point, but one separates other tithes, okay, and he keeps them for himself, okay? Now, the bracket says there are two distinct aspects of the uncertainty surrounding the demai. The prohibitory uncertainty of possible tevel, the crops are not tithe, and the monetary uncertainty of the possible tithe being withheld from their rightful recipients, right? The levy is supposed to get tithe. There's two points here. If the crops are not tithe, they're tevel, prohibited to eat it. Number two, if that belongs to a levy, then you're stealing from a levy. Right? A tenth is supposed to go to the levy. You're not giving to the levy. So you're stealing from the levy. Or a tenth should be eaten in Jerusalem. What about that? Or a tenth should go to the poor man. So the enactment to tithe demai was meant only to remove the prohibitory uncertainty of possible tevel, in keeping with the general rule that uncertainties in matters of biblical prohibitions must be treated stringently. Okay, in other words, you bought crops from an amoretz, we have to be, now remember, it's only a rabbinic decree. It's not that every amoretz didn't separate. It's not that they saw, well, every amoretz didn't separate, it's for sure tevel, we got a problem. No, there was just a lot that didn't. So it created a doubt. So when you buy from the amoretz, there's a doubt. So if there's a doubt, what do you do? That's a suffix. So now it depends, what's the level of the prohibition? Well, if the prohibition is a biblical prohibition, then you have to be concerned for a doubt. And now you're eating food that has that is tevel. Biblical tevel is a sin. So therefore, when the rabbis made the decree, they obviously would only make the decree to remove biblical doubts. Okay? Not to eat prohibited food. So they'd say, okay, so you've got to separate. Now, they were not worried about financial issues. Financial issues, it's a suffix in a financial issue. Then we have another rule, that somebody has to prove that it's coming to him. So let's say you buy some demai. So on the one hand, you're worried you don't want to have the food you're eating is tevel. That's a prohibition. You're going to be eating tevel. If it's a biblical prohibition, that's bad news. If the amoretz did not separate it. On the other hand, what about stealing from the levy? You know, if he didn't separate maaserishon. Well, the levy doesn't have a certain claim, a for sure claim. Because you could say to him, well, maybe this amoretz told me he does separate. Yeah, but we're not sure. So when you're not sure, you can't claim something if you're not sure. You can't say, well, it's coming to me. Why? Well, maybe the amoretz didn't separate it. Well, then you tell him, maybe he did. And if maybe he did, you don't have a certain claim. So therefore, the rabbis now are trying to deal with the mess. that it now exists because the Amoretz is not, some Amoretz are not separating. And now that you're buying from an Amoretz, you know, these are private people, so you can't have hashkachas over here. Can't have the chief rabbinate of Israel. It's okay, we're going to have hashkach on every farm. There was no such thing as hashkachas in those days. So we just have a problem. We know a lot of people aren't giving, but a lot are also. So therefore, so the rabbi said, so now we got to separate this demai that you're buying, you have to separate. But my monetary uncertainty remains subject to the general monetary rule. Hamotzi mechavera olavarai. The burden of proof rests on the one who wants to get the money. So Levi, go prove that the Amoretz hasn't separated, which he can't. Hence, unless the potential recipients can prove that the produce had definitely not been tithed on Amoretz, they cannot exact the demai tithes from the owner. Therefore, the owner can eat the Maaser Rishon that he has separated after separating Trumas Maaser from it, because Maaser Rishon may be eaten by anyone. Okay, so now let's take a look. You've bought Tevel from an Amoretz. So what do you got to do? Okay, so you got to separate Maaser Rishon. You have to separate it, because if you don't separate it, perhaps all the stuff you have is Tevel. Okay, so now I separate it. So now this is designated for the Levi. But now I can still eat it after it's been separated, because the Levi doesn't have a valid claim to it, because he's only doubtful if he could take it. Right? You follow what's going on over here. So you're going to say, well, why bother separating it? Because you have to separate it to say, okay, from these that I bought, I'm taking this amount, I'm separating it. Now the balance is edible. Once you separate. Let me take it a step further. Let's say it's my personal crops that I grew, and I have a personal obligation to separate my cerisho. So I separate my cerisho. Okay, I've separated it. Now I can eat this food. Now what if I'm a terrible guy and I go eat the my cerisho? What sin have I done? One sin, theft. From the Levites, in a certain case, when for sure had to be done. But it didn't affect the fact that the food is not tevel, because they separated it. So once I separate it, the rest of the food, the balance is fine. Now there's a separate law, it's supposed to go to the Levi. So if I choose to eat it, I choose to be a ganef. And the question is, and now which Levi can collect? No Levi can collect. Why? Because when Levi number one comes and says, listen, I want to collect, I'm going to say, well, how do you know I want to give to you? Maybe I want to give to another Levi. So no Levi has a legal claim. You understand? There's not any individual left. So now over here, when it's doubtful, when it's demai, so could be the Amoretz did separate. Could be he didn't. So how far the rabbi is going to go in making sure that you make sure your stuff is okay? Well, we're going to say you have to separate the Maaser Rishon. You have to separate it because there is a biblical mitzvah to separate it. But then I can turn around and eat the Maaser Rishon because the Levi doesn't have a certain claim on it. None of the Levi do because maybe the Amoretz did separate it. Okay, so if we're saying,
but this portion,
not from that.
So the separation is a separate act.
There's two things you do. You separate it so that the balance of the crops are quote unquote kosher. Yeah. Then there's a monetary issue that the Levi is entitled to what was separated. But in this case, since it's demai, right, they don't have a legal claim. So therefore, the owner can eat the Maaser Rishon that he has separated. Because Maaser Rishon may be eaten by anyone. Truma can only be eaten by a coin. There's nothing to do about that. But Maaser Rishon, let's say I give my Maaser Rishon to the Levi. The Levi can turn around and sell it.
Can?
Sure, why not? It's his privilege. It's his monetary thing. Cohen could only sell Truma to another Cohen. Only Kohanim can only eat Truma. Nobody's allowed to eat Truma except the Cohen and his family. A Levi, anybody can eat it. It monetarily belongs to the Levi. The Levi can turn around and sell it. Right? So now, anyone can eat it. So I could, now if I, this is doubtful. Remember, it's all doubtful. Only in the case of demai where it's doubtful. Since it's doubtful, I have to separate it so that the rest of my crops are kosher, but I could still eat it. Right. It belongs, the brackets, it belongs monetarily to Levine, but the uncertainty in this case is resolved in favor of the current owner, as stated above, because let the Levy prove that he's entitled to it. Now, certainly, you want to be a tzaddik and give it to the Levy? You can. But the rabbis didn't force you to. Because remember, it's all a doubt to begin with. Remember, it's not like they said, every Amoritz doesn't give. They didn't say that. There's a significant percentage doesn't. It's not an overwhelming, not 99%. So they said, okay, we would be strict. So therefore, separate the Maaser Rishon, but you could keep it. What about Maaser Sheni? Well, Maaser Sheni, really, what should have happened? The Amoritz should have separated Maaser. We don't know if he separated Maaser Sheni. So now the owner takes the Maaser Sheni to Jerusalem to eat there, right? Whether he need even designate Maaser Ani in Demai, this is the machlokas of this brisa that we're coming up. Now, do you have to separate Maaser Ani? Just like you separated Maaser Rishon for the Levi, this is the machlokas now. Do you have to separate Maaser Ani for the poor man? But then again, even if I just separate it, then what can I do with that Maaser Ani?
Still eat it.
I could eat it. It's no different than Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon, the Levis have a claim, but they don't have a certain claim over here. Maaser Ani, the Aniim, the poor people, don't have a claim either. So that's going to be the question. Do I have to even bother to verbally say I'm separating it, or you don't even have to bother? That will depend. Is eating the Maaser Ani a biblical prohibition or not? Do we have to remove a biblical problem? It's for sure a biblical mitzvah. Everyone knows a biblical mitzvah to separate it. The problem is if I eat it, besides the theft, is it a prohibition to eat the Maaser Ani? To eat your crops that have not been, is it going to still be tevel for that? Is that a biblical prohibition or not? So that's the issue over here. So now, produce is considered tithe and removed from the tevel prohibition. Listen to this. Even the trumas of Maasers are not physically taken out of the produce, but are merely designated in it, even mentally. That is, one declares or one thinks, this and this tithe shall hereby be designated in this part of the produce. Let's say the northern side. So that's how far we're going over it. Let's think about it now. You go and buy 100 bushels of wheat from an Amoritz. So now what do we say? Well, let's play it safe. Now, do you think it's such an easy thing to go and start schlepping 10 bushels of wheat and separating it out? No. So you don't really have to even go to that extent. All you got to do is say 10 bushels on the northern side of my produce are designated to the Levy. That's enough. That's all you got to do. And now, in a real world, if you really wanted to give it to the Levy, you just leave it there, and when the Levy comes by, you tell him to pick it up. That's even in regular biblical law. You never have to schlep all this stuff. It's a lot of work to schlep it all. So all you say is, this area belongs to the Kohen, this area belongs to the Levy. So the same thing over here. So what about in the case of Demai, do you need to designate the Maaser Ani? Right, for sure you have to designate the Maaser Rishon. That for sure you have to do. The machlokas is, do I need to designate the Maaser Ani as such? Even though I can eat it, but at least I have to designate it. So, and the problem is it a biblical problem to eat it or not? So Rabbi Lezer holds, in the case of Demai, you don't even have to designate it. That's what he's saying. Again, Rabbi Lezer Omer, now back to the text. Ain't Sarach Likros as Hashem al Maaser Ani Shel Demai. You don't even have to call it Maaser Ani. It's that there's no biblical prohibition to make the crop tevel if you don't separate Maaser Ani. That's his opinion, which disagreed with the opinion that we had before. That if you said if you eat the food that has not been separated Maaser Ani, you'd get lashed. Remember we said that? Now we're saying that's not a universal opinion. Because Rabbi Lezer says you don't even have to say anything. The more it thinks at this point, you don't have to say anything. It must be it's not even a biblical prohibition. It must not even be a biblical prohibition. V'chachamim omrim, turning the page, chachamim disagree. And they say, Korei es Hashem. You do have to designate it, at least that, but ve'ena tzarech lahafrish. But you don't have to separate. Remember, you don't have to separate. Once you just designate it, that's enough. So now, the sages hold that in order to remove the possible tevel status from the mai, one must designate the maaser on a portion by name. He need not physically separate out of the produce, since that now remains is only a monetary uncertainty, which is automatically resolved in favor of the current owner. Right? Thus, even if what he designated because of the uncertainty is indeed maaser ani, let's say in the doubt it really is, he may eat it himself. Because why? It can be eaten by anybody, and the yoni doesn't have a certain claim. There is therefore no point in physically separating the maaser ani from his produce, since he will, in any event, keep it and use it as his own ordinary produce without restriction. He must, however, physically remove from the produce the other possible ties that he designates. He must remove the maaser rishon in order to separate from it the trumos maaser. Then you have to give a tenth from the tenth that goes to the Kohen, okay? And in applicable years, he must remove the Maaser Sheni, since it must be eaten in Yerushalayim. So in the other cases, he really has to separate them because of other issues. Technically, the Maaser Rishon, he wouldn't have to separate it, but since he has to give a tenth from that tenth that goes to the Kohen, so therefore he's got to end up separating the Maaser Rishon. He's got to end up separating the Maaser Sheni that's eaten in Yerushalayim, because he has to take it to Yerushalayim. But the Maaser Ani, that's the one he doesn't even have to separate. He just has to designate because there's no need to have to separate it. So the rabbis say you have to call it out. You have to at least separate it verbally, but you don't have to physically take it out. So now that's the machlokas. Do you have to verbally designate this Maaser Ani or not? So Gemara thinks, my love, isn't it such? Baha Kamimli. This is the machlokas between the two rabbis. Damar Sover, one holds, Vadai Tovlo, that the Chachamim hold that a definite obligation to separate Maaser Ani renders the produce to be Teva. If it's biblically, you got to do it. If it's certain, it follows then that the possible Maaser Ani obligation that resides in the Mai renders that the Mai possible Tevel, which cannot be until the Maaser Ani has been designated. That's the Machlokas. If you don't separate Maaser Ani, is the remainder Tevel or not? Chachamim say, yes, it is Tevel. Since it is Tevel, so in a doubtful situation, I've got to verbally separate it. Umar Sarvan, the other opinion, says, Vadayeno Tovlo. He says that the Devon obligation over here does not render it Tevel. You don't have to. It will not make the balance. So that's the Machlokes. If you don't separate Maaser Ani, is the crop for sure Tevel or not? That seems that will be the Machlokes. If it's for sure Tevel, then you have to designate it. If it's not for sure Tevel, then you don't have to designate it. Gemara says, oh, we see there's a Machlokes if it makes it Tevel by not separating the Maaser Ani. That's what Gemara suggests. Comes along Abai and says, nope, you don't got to say that. Because if that's the real Machlokes, if the real Machlokes is not separating the Maaser Ani makes it Tevel, then they should have argued on that point straight out. Why do you got to argue when you're buying from an Amoretz? Go to the heart of the issue. Just say they should have spelled out and say they argue if it renders the rest of the crops Tevel. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, that's not a proof. Because if you want to say that's the real machlokas between them, so Adamiflik Bisfeko, why do you have to have them argue in a doubtful case from an Amoretz? And then whether they have you have to designate it or not, liflik bavadai. Let's argue in a more certain case where you know for sure do you have to do it in your own case with your own crops. What would happen? But they don't argue in that case. Why didn't they? Why didn't they go straight to the heart of the issue? Must be, I guess they don't argue. Ella, what are you going to say? The Kuli Alma, Vadai Tovlo. Must be these two rabbis, they hold that for sure it renders it Tevel. For sure that if you don't separate Maaser Ani, it is for sure Tevel. So now, and maybe the Machlokes is something altogether different. Bahaka, and here when you're buying from an Amoretz, Bahaka Mifli, maybe this is the Machlokas from the Amoretz. So Gemara wants to conclude and say everybody holds its Tevel if you don't separate Maaser Ani, then you get lashed for eating the rest of the crops. But what's the machlokas here? Mar sober one held lo nechshu amoritz a meiser onishel demai. Some said that we don't suspect that the Amoritz does not separate Meiser Ani of Demai. Now here's the machlokas. Do we suspect if an Amoritz would separate it or not? That's the machlokas. Again, let's go back. Truma, everybody says an Amoritz separates Truma. Meiser Rishon, they said, oh, there's a lot of Amoritzim who definitely don't separate Meiser Rishon. That's a problem. And because you don't separate Meiser Rishon, then we're not separating the Trumas Meiser for the coin. That's for sure a problem, and therefore it's always Demai on that. The question is, they argue, do the Amoritzim designate Meiser Ani or not? So you're going to say, well, you tell me the difference is. When you're going to do the Meiser Rishon, they stand to lose money. They stand to lose money. But by Meiser Ani, it's possible to separate it and not lose money, because now it's only a question of theft. In other words, if you're an ignorant person and money is an issue for you, fine. So you might do certain averes. But why do an aver if you don't even lose money by doing the mitzvah? Sometimes you don't want to do a mitzvah because you lose money. But if doing the mitzvah, you don't lose money, why wouldn't they do it? Right? So therefore, we don't suspect that they don't take it out. Because why? Kiman de mamonahu, since it's actually his money anyway, and if he wants to, he could take it. I mean, he's not a nice guy, but it doesn't cast any isser on the food anymore. Afrushir mafri, so he would separate it. Like, what do I care? If I separate it, at least makes the rest of my crops okay. So why can't I separate it? Even though at the end of the day, I keep it. But what does it hurt me to separate it if I end up keeping it anyway? Right? Unlimited people are often more concerned about observing the laws of forbidden foods than they are about observing the laws of financial honesty. Accordingly, they will willingly separate Meiser Ani from their produce to remove that aspect of the tevel restriction, since it costs them nothing to do so, as they anyway plan to withhold the Meiser Ani for themselves unlawfully rather than give it to the poor. They are lax, however, in separating Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni. That, we say they are. They reason that if they will separate Meiser Rishon, they will then have to separate Trumas Meiser from it, a tenth of that, and give it to the Kohen, because you're not allowed to eat that. And then they don't want to do that. See, if you don't separate the Meiser Rishon, then you don't have the obligation of Trumas Meiser. You see, so that's why they don't do it. Once you separate again, you could say, well, let him separate Meiser Rishon. He could steal it from the Levi also. Right? No. But once you separate Meiser Rishon, now you have to separate a tenth of that goes to the coin. And if you don't, it's on penalty of death. So Amoratzim don't want to die. They don't want to die. They're going to separate Truma because they don't want to die. But so why don't you separate Meiser Rishon? Keep it for yourself. Right? No, because once I separate my serishon, I got to take a tenth out of that and give it to the coin. I don't want to lose that. So that's why they don't separate it. Now there's nothing going to the coin, and now you go and eat it, and your mom is not separating my serishon.
Well, couldn't you say a tenth of a tenth is a small amount? But they might do it.
No, that's what they're saying. No, that's what they're not saying. They don't want to lose money. There were people who weren't. They saw people weren't doing it. Right? So they don't want to have that. They therefore neglect these tithes, right? And they fail to realize that by eating the produce without separating these tithes, they're thereby guilty of eating tevel, which is a sin of at least equal gravity, but they don't know. They're not that smart. They're ignorant people. They only know a little bit, not a lot. A little bit of information is a problem. So therefore, one holds, they'll separate the Meiser Ani, because the Meiser Ani, they can end up eating it themselves anyway. And therefore, we assume they do. For Rabbanan Savir, Rabbanan say no. Kiven the Trichalei Milsa, since it's troublesome matter for them to separate Meiser Ani, lo mafrish, they won't bother to separate it. So therefore, since the rabbis maintain a common person is suspect not to separate Meiser Ani, so they rule that it makes tevel the rest of the crops. Now, it's very interesting. What's so troublesome about it? Just to say, I hereby declare this part to be Meiser Ani? What's so troublesome with that? We didn't ask. Apparently, the matter that is troublesome to the Amoraites is the time and effort involved in separating the Maaser Ani. That's what we would have thought. I mean, what's the burden? If you have to separate it, you could say it. But it's noted above, however, several restrictions are removed from produce if the tithes are merely designated in the produce, even if they're not physically separated from it. So here's the question on the Gemara. How then can the sages assert that unlearned people do not assign Maaser Ani from their produce because of their trouble involved? What trouble is there in mentally designating Maaser Ani and produce? Just say, I here declare these 10 are this. Some answer that unlearned people are unaware that the law permits mental designation of tithes. Remember, unlearned is unlearned. They go, oh, I've got to separate the whole thing. I don't want to bother separating the whole thing. But they don't know that they don't have to. Thinking that the law requires them to go through the trouble of physically separating the Maaser Ani, they ignore that obligation altogether. Chazanish, however, seems to say the trouble meant here in the Gemara is not the physical trouble of separating Maaser Ani, but the troubled conscience that will result from designating Maaser Ani and then withholding it from the poor. Once you've designated, then you feel bad. If you don't designate it, well, he doesn't know which one to get anyway, right? The unlearned people far prefer to completely ignore the mitzvah. Moreover, they feel that not separating Maaser Ani at all is a lesser form of theft than separating it and then withholding it from them. So that's the machlokas. But everybody clear, there's no proof that these rabbis are arguing if it renders the rest of the food tevel. It could be they both agree it renders the rest of the food tevel. And therefore, and therefore we paskin that if you're going to eat stuff with mice, the Maaser Ani was not separated, we paskin that you will get lashed. Okay, good place to stop it for today.